Chapter 50. Kylar had an hour before Durzo came after him. He knew that because he'd watched Durzo drink a full mug of stout, and Durzo blint wouldn't work when he had alcohol in him. It was the perfect time to go to Master Blint's safe house. He might get lucky and be able to figure out how Master Blint intended to kill him from what tools were missing. To be careful, he used the back alleys to get to the safe house. In short order, Kylar disarmed the trap on the lock, then searched for the second trap. If he'd been fully visible, he would have felt exposed, but his talent obeyed him this time and covered him with shadows. He still had no idea how well he was concealed, but in the heavily shadowed and rarely traveled street, he felt comfortable taking his time. The second trap was embedded in the doorframe opposite the latch. Kylar shook his head, and Blint said he was no good at traps. Setting a trap which uses the release of pressure from the bolt itself for a trigger was no easy feat. Having disarmed that trap, Kylar started picking the lock. Blint had always told him that setting more than two traps on a door was a waste of time. You should get someone with the first trap, but if it was set so poorly that it made them overconfident, you might get them with a perfectly placed second trap. After that, only an idiot wouldn't check the door over so carefully that they'd find anything you could hide. Kylar didn't have to fumble with the rake. He'd practiced on this door for years, so he pressed the tumbler in place almost instantly. Then he felt something wrong. He threw his fingers apart and dropped the rake just as the spring released. A black needle darted out between his spread fingers, grazing his knuckles and almost breaking the skin. Whew! The black compound on the needle was henbane and kinderperil. It wouldn't have been fatal, but it would make a person ill for days, and he wouldn't have time to get far before the poison did its work on him. It was a nasty bit of business, and its presence meant that Master Blint was still testing him. Only an idiot wouldn't check the door over carefully after two traps. Gods! Kylar stepped inside carefully. The safe house wasn't as spacious as the one where he'd spent his first months with Master Blint, and with the animals in it, it had been terribly noisy, smelly, and dirty. Now the animals were gone. Kylar scowled. A cursory examination told him they'd been here this morning. Moving further in, Kylar saw a letter sitting on Durzo's desk. He drew a knife in each hand and opened the letter without touching it. He doubted Durzo would use a contact poison in the paper, but he hadn't thought the wet boy would put a third trap on the door, either. Kylar, it read, in Durzo's tight, controlled script. Relax. Killing you with contact poison would be terribly unsatisfying. I'm glad the third trap didn't get you. But if you had used what you thought you knew about me instead of checking, you'd have deserved it. I'll miss you. You're the closest to family I'll ever have. I'm sorry I brought you into this life. Mama Kay and I did everything we could to make you a wet boy. I suppose it's to your credit that we failed. You mean more to me than I ever thought another person could. Kylar blinked back tears. There was no way he could kill the man who'd written this. Durzo Blint was more than his master. He was his father. Tonight it ends, the letter continued. If you want to save your friend, you'd better find me. A. Thorne. Thorne. A. Thorne. Well, Blint was certainly prickly enough to call himself a thorn, but he was also usually a good speller. And what did he mean about saving my friend? Did Durzo know where Eline was? Why was he threatening her? Or was he talking about Jarl? The blood drained from Kylar's face. The animals were gone. Everything else Blint owned was still here, so he wasn't moving. The animals would look fine to a cook, and the taste tester who tried the foods wouldn't be affected for hours, long enough for the foods to be served at a dinner. Blint only drank after he finished a job. The animals were gone, all of them. There weren't many places that could take all of them. Oh, shit! Blint was poisoning the nobles at the Midsummer's banquet. Eline wouldn't be there, of course, neither would Jarl. Blint must have known something he didn't. It must mean that Logan would be there. Roth was attempting his coup. Tonight! Kylar felt dizzy. He threw a hand down on the table to steady himself, and set the glass vials and beakers to clinking against each other. His eyes raised to one he'd stared at for years. The asp poison was there. It was low. Blint had really meant the threats. For a while, after talking with him at the Arutairo, after seeing the letter, Kylar might have thought Blint wouldn't kill him. But he would. It was all professional for Blint. He'd crossed a line years ago when he let Vonda die, and there was no going back. It was classic Durzo Blint. He was giving Kylar a chance now, giving him enough information so that he would show up, enough motivation so he'd fight. But when it came to the fight, Blint would do everything in his power to win. He always had. Kylar's body knew what to do, even though his mind was far away. He threaded cotton through the tiny holes on a tiny poisoner's knife and dipped asp venom on it. Logan didn't like rabbit, so Kylar prepared the antidotes for the poisons they'd fed the pheasants and starlings and hoped that Logan didn't touch the pork. Alone, it wouldn't be fatal, but there was no antidote for it. If Logan got really sick, there was no way Kylar could carry him. He scoured his body without soap, so as to have as little scent as possible. He strapped knives to his bare forearms and a tanto to one calf, pulled on his trousers and tunic, both tight, mottled black, made of Gandian cotton, buckled his weapons harness, checked the belt for his poisons and grappling hooks, slid home the poisoner's knife in its special sheath, slapped home daggers, and his Siurin hand-and-a-half sword. Then he saw retribution. Blint had left the big black sword on the wall. He'd left his favorite sword for Kylar. Doubtless he'd make some quip about either taking it off his body, or if things went the other way, not needing it anymore. He really means it. This is really to the death. Kylar lifted the sword reverently and strapped it to his back. It was heavier than he was used to using, but with his talent, it would be perfect. Finally ready, he walked to the door, then stopped. He put his head against the wood and just breathed. Breathed. How had it come to this? Tonight, either he or Master Blint would die. Kylar didn't even know what he was going to do when he got to the castle. But if he didn't do something, Logan would die.